All right, so what we're going to do is, like I said earlier, this is one of many meetings we're going to have. We've had several already in the Board of Trustees arena. We're going to have others that are special meetings so we can really focus and dedicate those meetings just to the main gate. And then we'll also be having during Board of Trustee meetings where necessary the process as well. Nothing is set in stone. The drawings were conceptual. We gave, essentially the two volunteer architects that approached us. John gave them the tour. They saw the architecture that we have. They saw the blueprints in the back of the room of the keep and the police building. And we essentially, John gave them the needs of all the comments that y'all had spoken about in prior meetings and asked them to think out of the box or do whatever they felt driven to do and to bring the drawings forth. And these are the two sets of drawings that we received from both the architects. So in a moment, John will go through each of them to explain what they entail. Also, everyone is going to be allowed to speak first. We will not answer back to you. We want to hear what you have to say. And that way it allows everybody the opportunity to speak. And we ask that you try to keep your comments to, John, what do you think, 3 to 5 minutes to allow everyone to speak first?
Sure.
Like 3 to 5 minutes, John will keep a count. So that way we can get through everyone in a first round. And then, we'll let you speak again if, everyone has more questions. After everyone's done, then your board will then, we'll be jotting down your questions and your comments. And then each of us will take one thing at a time, and then we'll start, discussing a little bit more involved with you. As I said, John will go over all the concepts first, and I just ask that when we recognize you to speak, you stand, speak your name and your address, so John can have that for the record. And while you're speaking, we ask that everyone else give them the equal respect of not speaking over them or making comments, to give them that respect factor of having their voice and opinion. I also ask that there's any opinion is acceptable. We're here to learn from you of what you're seeing and feeling. And I don't think any question is silly or should be laughed at, and we should really be respectful of that. And other than that, do you have any other comments, gentlemen?
I do actually, Mayor, if you don't mind. This is a very important issue. We have a gate. This gate has lasted 130 years. We expect the changes we're going to make to last 50, 100 years. So this is a very, very important decision. We want to hear from as many of you, as many of the residents as we can. This will be the first of many, many, many public meetings. Secondly, the designs, anybody can submit a design. One of you can submit a design. If you're an architect who's one of your neighbors, please submit a design. If you know anybody out there that's outside of the community, please submit a design. These were merely two people who approached us, and they said, hey, do you mind if we throw in some designs? And we said to them, use your imagination. Some people came up with options that were out of the box. Great. We don't want to curtail anybody's creativity. The more options we have on the table, the better. If you know anybody from New York, or if anybody from, across the river in Dutchess County who you think is a good architect, please let them know. We want as many designs as possible here. Aside from that, those are my comments.
Dr. Keller?
Yeah, I just want to say that it's my intention to, as Trustee Gozzoni just said, to draw upon the expertise, the vast expertise in this area of this park, whether it's historical, like the work that Sheehan and the Historical Society always does, or the vast amount of architects that we seem to have here in terms of design and everything else. And it's also my intention to have this come out as something that brings this community together, that we build as much of consensus as possible. And to your point, Mayor, we'll be very respectful of everybody's input. I have no preconceived notions whatsoever on this one, myself, and I'm looking forward to getting this done right. So again, I want to make it as much as a consensus as possible, so that there's as few a number of people that feel disenfranchised at this at the end of the process.
Thank you. Trustee Clark?
Ready to listen.
Ready to listen.
You know, Mayor, I have one more comment, and I really want to thank, because of time constraints, Alan McHugh has been doing the yeoman's work here. He's taken a lot of the responsibility for what's going on right now at the gatehouse. We all had time constraints. We were very busy, and Alan, you know, needs to be really thanked for his hard work. He stood on top of the people there. He made sure the quality was good. And so if you see him, please thank him. He did 80% of the work that's been done at the front gate right now. So if you see him, please go out of your way and thank him.
Thank you. Also, I want to welcome, we have some gate guards here, and some officers might be joining us as well. One thing I really feel important is that we hear from them equally as well. They're the ones that are the first line of communication and the first line of our protection of the park. So their input also is greatly, greatly needed, because they're there on a daily basis for hours, and they're seeing, you know, the repetition of what's going on and the importance of what's going on, and out on the street equally as well. So with that said, I will pass the pointer to you, John, and we welcome your explanations of everything.
Sure, thank you very much. Shortly after the accident on September 5th, I got a few phone calls from some of the architects that we deal with here in the village, and two of them offered their services for free. I mentioned it to the Board of Trustees, and of course we said, sure. Once again, these are just conceptual sketches. There was at least one, if not two, site visits to the front entrance area. They were allowed to take some measurements, take a bunch of pictures from the town perspective and from the village's perspective inside. And there's a lot going on here, and I'll just start, I guess, from your left over. The upper left here, this leaves the gatehouse in the center. There's a little bit of extra landscaping involved, and also a complete redesign of the booth itself. It's a little bit larger, looks more like a conservatory than it does really just a booth itself. There were also some comments early on about making the inside a little bit larger, possibly for two people and not just one person at a tight desk. Some nice decorative landscaping, some bollards to provide some extra protection both from the front of the gate and the back of the gate as people leave. This architect also included some pictures of the way the gate used to look without any booth in between. Down below that, there were some thoughts about adding a gate arm to the outgoing traffic to slow things down. If anybody has spent any length of time there, the traffic leaving the park is sometimes a little too quick, and it does put people in jeopardy. Not too many people have to walk to the larger building, but if you do, you really have to look both ways twice before you pass across there. And this here is another older picture of the entranceway many of you have probably seen in the past, without the gate in between and with the old iron gates left and right side. Down below, there were some comments and thoughts about having a second way to come into the park. This would allow us to kind of differentiate between village residents and maybe regular commercial traffic, and it would allow a gate guard on one of the locations to monitor the traffic, where maybe the residents would come in the normal way, or the historic way, with some type of easy pass system. This obviously is a tremendous change to the appearance of the entrance of the park, and once again, we ask people to think outside the box, and these are just conceptual sketches. It may help the traffic flow a little bit at certain times, but traffic's not always an issue at the front entranceway. Also, once again, they included two arms here for outgoing and incoming in an attempt to slow things down and make it safer. So this is a shot of the, I guess, the park as you would be leaving. Actually, I'm sorry, this is coming in with the new entranceway would be to the right. So that was one architect's concept. And then starting over here, once again, we have a new booth building. Looks more like a conservatory, quite attractive and angular in its construction, true divided light windows, etc. And once again, some of these may not work well for the security issue, looking through all those little panes of glass, but one must admit it's a fairly attractive little structure there. There was also some thought about traffic flow as you come into the park. There was conceptual drawings here, a little roundabout that would be brought in. This would allow traffic that's not supposed to come in the park to turn around, a little bit easier to monitor. This plan also includes bringing the booth into the park. This way you would completely restore the entrance where it would not have a booth at all. You would actually come a few hundred feet in, there would be a booth there, and once again, if traffic was not permitted, they could easily turn around and come out. There was also a plan on this, you know, is really thinking out of the box, about allowing the church traffic to come into the park without going through the booth, as many of the town and out-of-towners may do. Once again, all conceptual, nothing agreed to, but at least gives us some thoughts about possibly a more efficient way to have traffic flow through the village and for the residents to enter a little bit easier without waiting for through lines of traffic from time to time. There's another roundabout here, and just some concepts as far as if we don't do a conservatory or some type of booth, how we would do some plantings and different configurations as far as bollards and walls at the front entranceway. I think there was one line here where I think there were some spikes somewhere, I guess, to stop traffic, I guess, from leaving or coming in. I don't know. But once again, we asked people to think a little bit outside of the box, and so they did. So that pretty much concludes it. The plans have been available for at least the last 3 or 4 weeks at the police station and here at the village office. And I think PDFs of the plans have been available on the website for about a month.
John, could you also just speak about which one designs had the removing of the parking?
Removing the parking
like back inside the gate.
Yeah, there's, was it this one? That's, yeah, this one here in the upper left-hand corner. We do get complaints from time to time about, you know, the openness here with the cars and everything. So in this conceptual sketch, they move the parking inside of the gate to the right. And also on the bottom here, this is with the alternative plan with an alternative entranceway. The parking was moved inside the gate. So the parking would pretty much be out of view or out of plain view, you know, as you enter the village.
But, John, isn't that inside the gate, that's St. Mary's property, no?
The village owns a fair amount of property inside the gate, directly behind the existing structure. More than you would think. Not enough to do everything here. I mean, there would have to be some conversation with the church. But we do own some property there. Actually, during the renovation of the Keep building, the dumpster that was there and all the commercial cars that were there, they were all on our property, you know, plus or minus an inch or so, but they were all pretty much on our property.
John, if you could explain, I think one of the architects also did an interesting something with the church as well, because we've had several people from the church ask, you know, what did that mean? Because they were very concerned about their parking lot.
It's pretty much these two here, where if you move the gate, the booth back into the park beyond the entranceway, there was a turnoff here. So traffic would not have to overburden the booth. They could come in and go here to go to church and leave without going past the booth. And once again, all conceptual.
That would require shutting off the current parking lot so that you couldn't go to the parking lot and then go out again without going through the gate.
Correct. They show a line here, but once again, it was very conceptual. And once again, I think that's just an opportunity, so not all of the church traffic would have to go through the booth. But obviously, if you were in the village, you'd have to come out and go back in again. So,
John, let me just give the audience here a data point. Non-tag vehicles per month, so these are vehicles that don't have a residence tag or one of the red non-residence tags. We get between 10,000 and 13,000 non-tagged vehicles per month. And, you know, if you do the rough math, it's about 400 a day divided by an 8-hour day. You get about 50 an hour, which means, you know, one a minute almost. It's not steady, one every minute. Sometimes they clump up early in the morning. You know, the lines do extend out to 17. But there's about 400 vehicles a day that are non-residents and no tags. So they have to stop and actually interact with our gate guards.
Okay. All right.
I just had one thing. The keep, actually, you actually bulletproofed the keep.
Yes.
Right? So that's one thing to know, right? Because the original gatehouse, whatever, was not bulletproof.
No.
Right?
I'll give a quick overview of that. Mm-hmm. So before we get started, just to let you know what has been done to the keep. The keep has been bulletproofed. The room that they're in at this time is fully bulletproofed. Glass, obviously the stone is bulletproof. The wood is now bulletproofed. The doors are steel, bulletproofed, and you have to have a code to get in. I will let them speak about how they feel in there. There have been desks built for them to bring their heights up so they can see. They have special chairs to sit in because, you know, they're in those chairs for many hours at a time. We did as much as we could in the time frame to bring it up to the code that we had to for the State Labor Board. There is air conditioning and heating fully in the building because there was a situation with air quality that was mediated immediately when that was found. The whole building was gutted to get rid of anything that was not needing to be there. It was then certified to be clean and good air quality. The top two floors will not be used at all for people. They will be storage because it does not have egress in case of fire. There will be, because of it being the area where the police will be, the back doors will be bulletproofed as well with steel doors to bring it to code for their safety. And you will also have to be buzzed in to get into the building. No police building should be able to have a civilian walk through at their leisure. They should be buzzed in and they should be with a police escort at the entire time. So for their safety and our community as well, that building will be brought up and is being brought up to code. The air conditioning and heating, you'll ask, why was that done? That was to mediate with the State Board for air quality and mold and moisture. So it would keep at its temperature so we would not have problems in the future because of that. There's been insulation done in the ceilings up above on that third floor. The windows were replaced with like, and you can remove them for cleaning them also, so we won't have to put up scaffolding in the future at a cost. The windows can actually be opened and then cleaned and then secured back in at the top. Anything else, gentlemen, that I've forgotten of the building? Obviously, the mortar had to be taken care of. The whole building had to be pointed. It was literally raining in from the roof through the walls, and that was what was causing the major problem that was in the building.
And the roof.
Pardon? And the roof, right. The roof as well. So, and the basement as well had to be mediated, what was found in the basement, so that was taken care of as well. So it is a very safe building for your health and for the security. So that was what was done with the building.
I could just amplify the mortar. I believe Alan Yaski told us that there was next to no mortar remaining.
Almost nothing.
And the building was a potential collapse situation, yes. Actually. So.
When the sheetrock was taken down, you could see through pretty much. So, you know, all of that's been taken care of. So that building should be good to go in just that condition right now for 100 plus years.